Welcome to Mrigashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. This podcast is a tribute to our fantastic fellow professionals, colleagues, and friends. I'm Radha Radhakrishnan, and this podcast is brought to you in association with DigiTales. There are very few journalists and editors who are successful media entrepreneurs too. Indrajit, or IG as he is popularly known, is one among them. Indrajit Gupta is a business journalist and editor with over 2 decades of experience. He was the founding editor of the Indian edition of Forbes magazine. Within 4 years of its launch, Forbes India became the most influential magazine in its space. Indrajit is now the co-founder and director at Founding Fuel. He talks to us on media entrepreneurship and many other things.
So my first question is basically about, there is always this perception that journalists can't make good entrepreneurs. So what has been your experience like, and how do you sum up your journalism experience as well as an entrepreneurial experience?
Radha, there are 2 ways of looking at it. I can share my personal experience, and I have found a couple of folks who certainly do inspire confidence that journalists can make the transition to entrepreneurship, or at least, if not entrepreneurship, at least business, and heading business roles, as well as kind of wearing the hat of an editor. The 2 names that come to mind from an Indian context are Uday Shankar and Raju Narisetty, who I think made the transition from being editors to CEOs, and being entrepreneurial leaders, right? The other great global example is that of the Financial Times, where John Ridding crossed over from editorial to becoming the CEO of Financial Times. And he and Lionel Barber, the editor, had a fantastic run. They combined very well, because I think there's a case to Bill saying that media quintessentially and journalism really is a creative business, right?
Yes.
And the guys who really understand this very intuitively are editors and creators of content, right? It's not to say that others can't, regular business folks can't make the transition, but it is not the same as selling soap, right? You've got to really, I think, dirty your hands and really understand the content creation process, because that's the primary way that you create value. As far as we're concerned, I think and our journey at Founding Fuel was that I think we were looking for an opportunity to do a few things that would have been difficult in the larger construct of a mainstream media platform. And we needed to move out and do something on our own, where we wouldn't certainly compromise integrity. We would be able to play around with modern storytelling tools. We would learn to do a lot more with a lot less, which is the whole frugal innovation piece which entrepreneurship demands. You never have enough resources to build. So from those perspectives, and also build a sustainable platform at the end of the day. So those were the triggers really to step out and create something different. I think on that journey, we've had some successes. Long way to go.
My next question to you is about, how do you sum up your own journey of Founding Fuel, which has been now more than 5 years?
Yes, it's been a little more than 5 years.
Yeah.
I think it's been exciting. It's as I mentioned right at the start, that we wanted to approach this venture a little differently. So we went beyond what is traditionally described as a media model. We looked at media and storytelling, really, and tried to fuse it with a learning agenda. Because we said, look, if our community that we are addressing is very sharply defined as an entrepreneurial community, and Founding Fuel wants to serve that, how do we do it? How do we do it by kind of bringing together the power of multimedia storytelling, right? And bring in elements of learning so that it's far more deeper impact on the community that we're looking to serve. And that's been a journey. Did we have all the clear ideas when we started on what form and shape this venture would take? No. But over time, I think we experimented a lot. And I think today we're in a far clearer state in terms of what is our play? Why do we exist? How do we touch people's lives in a real sort of way? So without necessarily getting caught in a treadmill of creating content every day, hundreds and thousands of stories. No, we believe less is more. And what we produce, we must really impact lives. So we're not an advertising-driven model. If anything, we're quite far removed from an advertising-driven model. So that's been one of the challenges, of course, to build a business model that supports the kind of distinctive work that we want to do. So all in all, I think we haven't lost money for 3 out of the 5 years that we've been in existence. So that's good. We've tried to be responsible to the multiple stakeholders that we serve, which includes a very interesting curated network of contributors who work with us. Very senior people who've been there, done that. So it's not a traditional journalism newsroom in that sense. The newsroom is small. It's about 5 or 6 people at the center of it. But we've built a very interesting extended network of contributors, of entrepreneurial leaders who work with us. These are not traditional journalists.
We're taking a short break. In our next segment, Indrajit Gupta, co-founder of Founding Fuel, talks to us on all the exciting opportunities he has discovered as a media entrepreneur. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Mrigashira. We are in conversation with Indrajit Gupta, co-founder of Founding Fuel and one of the most successful media entrepreneurs we have today.
So you are in a way happy that you're not in that breaking news rigmarole, right?
We're not, because I think we're doing far more meaningful work that touches people's lives in many different ways. And we're finding new ways to tell stories. And we're realizing that increasingly, it is about triggering conversations with the community as well. And how do you make the audience a primary part of these conversations? That they're not passive. They're not just, and we are not in push mode. We're actually inviting them into the story and to be part of the story and to contribute their mind in some ways, right? Because they're all intelligent people. We're serving a very intelligent audience, a discerning audience. So it is important. So through Slack and several other ways, we're trying to kind of ensure that there is a larger impact and there is a larger conversation that gets triggered. So the community conversation content model is where we're kind of clearly headed for the last, especially in the last couple of years, if not more.
That's interesting. So if you were to, give a suggestion or an advice to all those journalists who want to become entrepreneurs at some point in time, what would be those couple of things that you would tell them?
Yeah, so one, I have to confess from our own learnings and lessons is not to aim for perfection, because perfection is the enemy of good. I wish we had kind of launched sooner with something that was still work in progress. Sometimes we tend to beat ourselves up and try and kind of perfect everything in-house. I think we've learned that that's not the smartest way to work. Put it out there, collect feedback from the audience, try and fine-tune and perfect it as you go along. Because the feedback that comes from the audience is invaluable.
Thanks, IG. It's always, very, very enlightening, enriching to talk to you.
Time for a short break. In our next segment, my colleague Abhishek Sinha speaks to the students of Ajinkya D.Y. Patil University in Pune to understand what the students think of the opportunities and challenges available in media and communication industry. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Mrigashira. Let's go across to Abhishek.
Thank you, Radha. I have with me some students from Ajinkya D.Y. Patil University in Pune. And all of them have shared some really bright ideas with me. So let's go straight to them.
Most of you would be thinking a lot about how the communication industry is shaping up. And, you know, sometimes you would be thinking, yaar, this is good, but this is bad. This is something which I am going to change when I get into a job. So I'm just sharing two questions with you. So my first question to all of you is, what changes would you like to see in the media and communication industry once you get into a job?
Okay, so I think the change I'd like to see is for the media and the communication industry to be a little more legitimate and a little more diverse. Like, it should incorporate a lot of like diverse cultural aspects to it, expand basically in like all kinds of culture or all kinds of things possible.
Very good, Tapasya. Thank you very much. Yeah, Afran, please go ahead.
Yeah, so I would like to, you know, agree with Tapasya and add on to it. Like, I would like the media to be unbiased, particularly, you know, for example, now people are shifting from news channels. They're going through other ways of getting through media, like, for example, podcast, maybe then Facebook, Instagram, a different way, you know. Maybe, for example, in media, people come on YouTube, you know, and they put their own channels, for example. So there's a lot of diversification which is taking place at the moment, you know, because, and sometimes when people are now asking for fact checking and everything, which is a really good thing, because before people used to just believe whatever the media used to say, and now people are actually coming out and doing their own fact checking. And, you know, they won't rely on one source. They would go to a different number of sources and then come to a conclusion, which is a really good thing happening right now.
Right, Afran, I'm so glad that you brought this up, this entire, you know, fact check thing. Every organization, every news organization has a separate team, which is a fact check team. So thank you very much, Afran. Your inputs were very good. Tapasya, you're also pretty much bang on the target. Now I'm moving to my next section. What would you like to accomplish as a media and communications professional?
My personal interest is slightly tilted towards corporate PR. So I would like to achieve a goal where I can make PR budget-friendly, affordable to small entrepreneurs also. Because I've seen some of the women, they've started their business, but they don't know enough about this PR thing. You know, they don't know how to reach out to people. And sometimes, even if they know, it's quite costly to them. So I would like to make this PR thing budget friendly and accessible to all the new budding entrepreneurs.
Sakshi, you've impressed me with your answer, because it was, you have spoken something which we encounter on a day-to-day basis. So thank you very much. Anusha, anything from you?
Yeah. As a communication professional, my focus is going to be on vernacular languages, and I would like to empower communication professionals who are not very much comfortable in English and give them a level playing field. As a leader, I would also encourage people around me to learn at least one regional language other than the one that represents their state, and of course, English.
Thank you, Anusha, for your insights.
Thank you, Abhishek. This was really an insightful and thought-provoking conversation. That's all we have in this episode. We'll meet you again next week, same time. Take care and bye for now.